This is the Canadian Taxpayers Federation podcast, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta director for the CTF. My dear friend Franco Terrazano is stationed in Ottawa. He is our federal director. Franco, thank you for toughing it out over the last few weeks. You've been doing a bit of a deep dive into the spending changes. Now, as a quick preamble, we do alternative media, we do mainstream media, etc. I've been listening to the mainstream media narrative the last couple of weeks, and it's kind of like this, oh, everything is new and shiny and better and different, and kind of the narrative right now is, oh, Prime Minister Mark Carney is stealing from the Conservative playbook. They won't have anything left. I can understand why they're saying that, because the throne speech was kind of traditional, and apparently he isn't letting people wear pajamas to the office anymore, which is great. But
and
you
by
actually
office, you mean living room?
Yeah, exactly. But you actually look at numbers. You actually look at data. And it blew my mind, this article that you wrote recently, pointing out how much the Carney government is spending. And we wanted to do a deep dive in this episode about what they're spending your money on. Where did you want to start with it?
Well, you know, let's just go high level here, right? Because, you know, during the election, Carney essentially ran on this impression that he was different than Justin Trudeau, right? Ah, it's going to be a different government, totally different. And then he also ran on this idea that he's going to rein in government spending. Well, you know, Mark Carney is actually right. He's not Justin Trudeau. He's going to be spending more than Trudeau, adding up even more debt than Trudeau was planning to do over the next 4 years. So, like, folks, everyone knows that the federal government has not produced a budget under Carney, right? That's not news. But what the federal government has to do every year is table its main spending plan. Okay, that's, you know, the wonks, it's formally called the main estimates. Well, I had the displeasure of going through the main estimates line by line, department by department, to see exactly what's going on with spending. And like, look, folks, this year's main spending plan from the government is going to increase to about $488 billion. Okay, that's more than an 8% increase this year alone. So think about the massive spending that was going on under Trudeau, and Carney this year is going to spend 8% plus more than Trudeau did last year. Now, Chris, we're going to get into the details, you know, department by department in a second here, but like, not only is the overall figure going up with spending, but spending is going up in more than 80% of the federal departments, agencies, and crown corporations. Mm. In fact, there are 26 different federal organizations that are going to see their budgets increase by more than 20% this year alone.
Okay. I just wanted to go over that number really quickly again. Did you say $480 billion is how much they're going to spend?
Yeah, and that's just in their main spending plan, $488 billion, 8% more than last year. And that's just the main spending plan. There's going to be additional spending that's going to happen throughout the year as well. So, I mean, look, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, except Carney is actually spending more, and he's continuing Trudeau's debt-fueled spending spree.
But, like, okay, I'm trying to wrap my head around that amount of money. Sorry to be stuck on the $480 billion just at the outset, but our debt, like our entire debt, isn't that like $1.2 trillion right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, a little bit
there?
More. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So isn't this like around a third-ish, a little bit more than what we even already have amounted for the debt? Like, this is a mind-blowing amount of money.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. And as I mentioned, like, most of the departments and agencies, after years of higher spending, are going to be spending more of taxpayers' money.
Okay. This is just gross. And very quickly at the outset, I want to remind people, I know it sounds like, you know, duh, okay, but it's a good thing to visualize. This is all your money. Every nickel of this. The government is not, you know, investing in wealthy trees and then harvesting from them. This is your money. And when they borrow money, that's your money too. And your grandkids are going to be saddled with that debt. So I want you to picture, when Franco's talking about this money for the next, you know, few minutes, picture cash coming out of your wallet. Okay? Picture cash draining out of your bank account. Visualize this. All of this is your money. Okay, Franco, where do you want to start when it comes to the spending?
Well, let's just start with the biggest spending increases. Okay. So the largest growth in spending is going to Canada Post. Okay. Yeah. Canada Post. It's getting a $1 billion bailout this year. Yeah. Earlier in the year, the government gave Canada Post a $1 billion bailout to essentially prevent Canada Post going insolvent. Okay. Now here's the funny little thing that's going on here. This $1 billion bailout that the government is taking from you, giving to Canada Post, that's supposed to be repayable funding. Canada Post is supposed to pay that money back if they have the revenue to do that. Now that's a big if, and I would say, Chris, don't hold your breath waiting for that money to get paid back to you, because you know, since 2018, Canada Post has lost money every single year. In fact, they've lost $3.8 billion going back to 2018. So, you know, here's a bold prediction. Canada Post isn't going to pay back a dime of that $1 billion it's taking from taxpayers that it's taking from you.
And folks, for $1 billion, remember our rule, picture a big, shiny new hospital. Okay? Picture 5,000 plumbers plus 5,000 carpenters. That's how much that is. That's how much that amount of money is. It's crazy. Okay, so Canada Post, that's the biggest amount that they're spending new money. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Hey, let's go into some of the other crazy ones here, okay? You have the National Capital Commission, right? Which is essentially Ottawa's Parks and Recs board, right? And like, the NCC might be the worst waste offender in all of Ottawa. I mean, there's a lot of departments to pick from, but the NCC is right up there, right? Like, the NCC is a department that spent, what, $8 million building a barn at Rideau Hall, right? The Governor General's estate, an $8 million barn. Now, Chris, I'm the first one to admit, I don't know the first thing about farming, but I'm pretty sure my buddies in Brooks know how to build a barn for a lot less than $8 million, right? The NCC, yeah. The NCC is also the agency that oversees all those, you know, taxpayer funded mansions for the politicians, like the prime minister, the speaker, the official opposition, and the governor general. And, you know, the NCC spends about $8 million every single year on these official residences. Every single year, they spend $8 million and they're still crying poor. Okay.
Yep.
And what's $8 million? That could buy a brand new mansion in Ottawa every single year. So they're spending like crazy. And get this, Chris, they're going to see their funding balloon by 90% this year alone, almost double. 1 year, 90% spending increase.
What is that? Okay, let's speculate because it's fun. Does this mean that they're going to actually rebuild 24 Sussex? Like, what's your hunch here? Like, 90% increase is a huge increase year
huge.
Over year.
Yeah, it's massive. But like, here's another problem with just a main spending plan, not a budget, right? Is that you actually don't have much details on why these organizations are getting so much of more of taxpayers' money, right? So all we know is that it's not just the capital spending, right? New houses, new this, new that, that the money is going towards, because their operating budget is also ballooning, right? Their operating budget is going up by 38%. Their capital expenditures are going up more than 200% this year. So it looks like everything within the NCC's bloated budget is going up, and going up significantly.
And again, for folks who aren't in the Ottawa bubble, who don't live in the National Capital Region, this is, he's right. This is basically a Parks and Rec department, okay? It's their job to weed the flower beds along the Rideau Canal, okay? It's their job to put little plaques on the trees and number them so that we know when to water the willows, okay? Like, that is their job. But they blow so much money. People who might recall, it was probably about 10 years ago now, when little kids set up a lemonade stand along the Rideau Canal and they got like fined for it and everybody went crazy.
That
was the NCC. Yeah, I call them the flower cops, because like, you try parking anywhere in the Glebe during Tulip Fest, you're lucky you don't get tasered. So
yeah, the government keeping you safe from lemonade.
That's right. So that's the NCC. And don't worry, folks, we are going to dig in to find out where that money is going with the NCC, because they famously have wasted money for years and years and years. So, okay. So we've got Canada Post, which that blows my mind, an extra $1 billion. And again, they're supposedly lending them the money, but how are we sure they're going to be able to pay it back? This is like lending money again to one of like your, you know, old high school friends. And it's like, buddy, how are you going to pay this back? Oh, I don't know. I'm going to sell candy at the mall. Like, this is not a good business plan. Okay, so we've got Canada Post, NCC. Who's next? Who's getting
all right, I'm going to rattle off a couple of them. Then I want to move into consultants. Okay, so let me just rattle off a couple big spenders. Okay, so Telefilm Canada. Okay, it's essentially just like a slush fund for the Canadian film industry. That's essentially the best way to put it. They're going to be getting nearly 60% more from taxpayers this year alone. This isn't over like 10 years. This is an extra 60% this year. Okay, Chris, your favorite organization, the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission, the CRTC, they're going to get an extra 21% more from taxpayers this year. Oh, and get this, folks, the Department of Industry, aka the Department of Corporate Welfare, where they take your money and hand it to businesses, is going to be getting 40% more from taxpayers this year, right? And like, remember, it was the former industry minister, who's now the finance minister, actually, Champagne. He's the guy who was captaining Canada's EV battery crusade and put taxpayers on the hook for about $30 billion to multinational corporations so that they could build their battery factories.
You know, every now and then I wonder if we're in a simulation, and the fact that the Liberal finance minister's last name is literally Champagne, like they're playing with us.
There's got to be like a Champagne socialist joke in there, hey?
There is. I heard him referred to affectionately as Frankie Bubbles on the Hill, so that's what his nickname is. All right, so we've got Canada Post, NCC, CRTC, Telefilm. Keep in mind, folks, the CRTC, that is the one that regulates what you can hear and see on TV and radio. They're now moving into the interwebs. So the government is going to be regulating what you can see, hear, and share on the internet, and they probably need more foot soldiers to do that. So that's probably part of their 20-something percent increase. Okay, did you want to get into... what are we talking about here? Lobby
consultants. Let me talk about consultants.
I just need to break this down first, okay? So what Franco's talking about already, that's already in-house, okay? So things like the National Capital Commission, CRTC, Telefilm to some extent, all those groups, that's within a department. So if you've got a minister, say, of heritage, okay, that person is the minister politically, they have an entire department of permanent bureaucrats with a budget. They're the ones that mete out money, for example, to the CRTC. What Franco is going to talk about next is separate and apart on top of that spending. We're going to talk about consultants outside of government. Okay,
no, I'm actually glad you brought up that distinction because the cost of the government's own bureaucracy is also going up, right? Like, it's also going up this year. So not only are you paying for more for the bureaucracy, the government's own staff, but you're also going to be paying more for consultants, outsourcing, and contracting this year, right? And this is a big issue because, like, you'll imagine leading up to the election, like, give credit where it's due, the Conservatives under Mr. Pierre Poilievre, they really hammered the government for ballooning how much it's spending on outside consultants, right? And they, you know, so did the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, but, you know, they did a really good job actually holding the government accountable to how much money it's wasting on consultants, so much so that even in the Liberal Party's platform, Mark Carney had to be like, we are going to significantly reduce the reliance on outside consultants. Well, the numbers are in and not so much. Okay. So in the main spending plan, there's this very bureaucratic line item and it's called, quote, professional and special services. Okay. Now that's a broad category that essentially just means consultants, outsourcing, and contractors. And that's going to cost $26 billion this year. $26 billion. Okay. Now that's a 37% increase. So in 1 year, the amount of money the government spends on those outside consultants, outsourcing, and contractors is going to go up 37% up to $26 billion. After Mr. Carney just ran an election saying that he's going to reduce the reliance on outside consultants. And yeah, not to mention, you're also paying more for the in-house bureaucrats.
Okay, this is gross for several reasons. One, we don't have the money, period. We have unmoney right now, okay? Like, our interest payments on the debt are disgusting. Two, we already are spending way too much on the in-house bureaucrats. So, and what didn't they balloon their ranks by close to 100,000 human beings too? Okay. So way too many people involved in this tent, way too many people getting paid way too much. But outside of that tent, they dug a little gopher hole. Okay. And now there's a whole new tent of these outside consultants that we're wasting money on. And we're increasing that amount by 37%. And sorry to just surprise you with this question, but like, as far as I understand, one of the other problems with hiring outside consultants is that they don't have the same level of scrutiny and transparency as you get within a government department. Isn't that right?
No, that is right. That's actually a really good point. And I mean, like, folks, you probably heard all over the news about the company that was at the heart of the Arrive scan debacle, right?
Yeah.
And the Auditor General report talking about a lack of actually holding them accountable for actually delivering on, you know, the services they're supposed to do. But look, like, I think that's a huge issue, is the accountability piece. But I also just think, like, the big issue is just the cost of taxpayers, like the sense that you're paying way more for the government's own bureaucracy, but then you're also paying way more for the consultants, the contractors, and all the outsourcing. Like, it's just nuts. You're paying more for everything. And Chris, before we go in, because I want to talk about the debt, I want to talk about interest payments. But before we do that, like, folks, like, we're talking about this massive increase in government spending this year alone. The many departments who are seeing huge amounts of extra money that they're getting from taxpayers. But like, folks, like, remember the context here, that this is coming after a mountain of spending increases over the last 10 years, right? So all of this new spending is coming after years of higher and higher spending. And let me just break it down. I mentioned off the top that the government in this main spending plan will spend like $488 billion, okay? Well, back in 2016, through its main estimates, they were spending $250 billion, okay?
Oh my goodness. So that's almost double
the amount of spending in 10 years. Okay, well, what about inflation? What about population growth? Well, I crunched those numbers, and even after accounting for inflation and population growth, even after all of that, they're still spending a third more.
Can you briefly, I'm surprising you with something. As you're getting into debt, and as you're talking about increasing spending, can you touch on inflation a bit and how government waste, government spending, diving deeper into debt and printing money all kind of coalesces around the huge problem of inflation? Because I know normal people are seeing it still every single day. Like, I went to the grocery store the other day, Franco, a normal can of like regular coffee, like the ones that people kind of sneer at from the grocery store, is $20. That used to be standard, like $9.50. It is $20 now at a discount grocery store. Like, I went to a kid's clothing store the other day. A hoodie was $70. It was a no-name hoodie. It didn't have a sports team on it or anything. This inflation is just strangling people. Can you talk a little bit about how government actions cause inflation and how it relates to debt and money printing a bit?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, I'd love to. You know, this is my favorite topic of conversation, which maybe explains why I don't have the most amount of friends at, you know, cocktail parties. Okay, let me get into it.
You're among friends right now, Franco. Please go.
Okay, so the real measure of taxation, the real measure of the burden that government imposes on society, is how much it spends.
Yeah.
Because every dollar the government spends, it can only be collected, it can only be financed in three different ways. Number one is taxes, right? The taxes that you pay. Number two is government borrowing. And government borrowing is just taxes plus interest tomorrow, right? So those two ways, it's very easy to see how the government spending directly makes your life more expensive, because higher taxes mean less money in your pocket to purchase all aspects of life, right? Whether it's going to the grocery store, whether it's, you know, anything like that. Now, obviously, if the government wanted to make life more expensive, the easiest thing to do is just stop taking so much money in the first place. So that covers the first two ways governments finance their spending: taxes and borrowing, which is just taxes plus interest tomorrow. Now, the third way is the money printer, okay? Where the central bank purchases government debt, or essentially creates the demand for the purchase of government debt. So essentially, you have the central bank, the Bank of Canada, printing new dollars out of thin air to finance massive deficits. Now, we saw that in particular during COVID. Okay, during the heart of the pandemic, the central bank, the Bank of Canada, printed up anywhere between $300 to $400 billion, new dollars printed with a click of a keypad to finance Ottawa's deficits. That is the inflation tax. That is the pure definition of the inflation tax when you have the central bank printing on overdrive like it did during COVID-19, during the heart of the pandemic, to finance Ottawa's deficits. And it is that alone, the inflation tax alone, money printing from the central bank alone, that causes a general rise in prices, right? So certain taxes can make certain things go up, right? Like the carbon tax makes gasoline, diesel, propane go up, right? However, the only thing that makes all prices increase, a general price increase, is monetary inflation. Right? The central bank printing up new dollars out of thin air, right? Because think about it. If a government can print new dollars out of thin air, but you obviously can't print farmland out of thin air, mm-hmm. you can't print groceries out of thin air, well, you get the perfect storm of inflation, which is too many dollars chasing too few goods. So that's exactly how the money printing, where the central bank purchases government debt, leads directly to everything getting more expensive.
And we're in it right now. And Al, you pointed out something, like you explained it so well. You pointed out something a while ago of they did this. They printed between $300 and $400 billion in the middle of the lockdown.
Yes.
While at the same time seizing, in some cases, or shutting down the means of production of those things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So
they created a whole bunch of money, but we weren't creating the stuff that money actually buys. Right. So it was almost like both of the worst causes of inflation, where you have essentially a country going through revolving lockdowns where you're not creating as much stuff. But then on the other hand, you have the central bank just pumping a ton of new dollars out of thin air into an economy that is shut down. And that really was the perfect storm for the inflation that we saw, the 40-year high inflation that we saw in 2022, and still the higher prices that we're paying today.
Oh, yeah. It hasn't come down. Like, you look around and the prices are still really crazy high. I'm too scared to ask you when you think that that will eventually ebb, when that wave will eventually come down. Do we want to get into debt? Do we want to talk about the risk of debt? Do we want to talk about why this huge debt is such a huge problem? And I know for our listeners, we do get comments, okay? And we read all your emails. We know it's not a fun topic, okay? We know that, you know, it can be upsetting. But it needs to be looked at because, again, as Franco has pointed out, this is your money. Like, you're going to be on the hook for this. Like, generations of people in Canada are going to be on the hook for this. And it's up to us to yell at these politicians to make them stop plowing into debt so deeply. Could you want to talk about it a little bit here on why it's so important to hit the brakes?
Yeah. Well, let me just lay the picture. Let me just give a lay of the land first, okay? So you have, first of all, now every dollar the government is spending, it's not even just sticking you with the bill. They're sticking your kids and your grandkids with the bill because it's your kids and your grandkids that are going to be making payments on Ottawa's debt for the rest of their lives. Okay, so let's go back to 2015, just before Trudeau became prime minister. The federal government was about $600 billion of debt. So it took all the prime ministers over all of those decades, more than a century, to rack up $600 billion of debt federally. Okay, well, in about 9-10 years, Trudeau doubled the debt. He added more than $600 billion of debt in less than 10 years, the same amount of debt that it took all those previous prime ministers to rack up. So in a decade, Trudeau doubled the debt. And now the debt stands at about $1.3 trillion. Okay. Now, folks, we don't have a federal budget. So it's actually impossible to know exactly where the state of our finances are. However, in Carney's Liberal platform during the election, he did give us an idea of what he's going to do, right? So according to Carney's own election platform, he's going to add about $225 billion in additional debt over the next 4 years. Another $225 billion of debt. Well, for context, Over those same 4 years, Trudeau was planning on adding $131 billion. So let that sink in, okay? Carney is planning on adding almost $100 billion more to the debt than even what Trudeau was planning, okay? Right? The banker was supposed to be better with the numbers than the drama teacher, but the banker is going to be adding up almost $100 billion of more debt over the next 4 years than what even Trudeau was planning.
Okay. What do you say when Carney says something along the lines of, oh, well, my spending, my debt is going to be better because I'm spending it on things. So things like increasing our how much we spend on the armed forces, things like building, he's been vague, but building infrastructure, building houses. Is that better wasteful spending, if that makes any sense? Is that better debt because it's going to like physical things like hard assets?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Now, here's the honest answer, right? Is that, I mean, it's still more debt.
Yeah.
Right. You're still more debt. And I'll get this into a second, but more debt means more money wasted on interest charges. Right. So look, if Carney has new priorities, and we can get into the defense spending in a second, let's just leave it for a second to aside. But this goes to anything. Look, after the last 10 plus years of crazy out of control spending in Ottawa, if you're going to spend more money on something, you then have to spend less somewhere else.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me give you an example. Let's say, you know, you own your own home, but you have a leaky roof. You got to fix the roof. Okay. So then what do? You fix the roof, but then you cut back spending elsewhere, right? Maybe you don't go on that vacation, right? You certainly don't buy a new flat screen TV and a couple ATVs and a new brand new BMW, right? So if you have something to fix, like a leaky roof, you fix a leaky roof, right? You prioritize spending. Every family, every business knows that, right? But what the government, what the Carney government essentially is doing is just spending more money on everything forever, right? That doesn't make sense. So if there's a new priority and you have to address it, address it, but then find savings elsewhere in the budget.
Is there a chance, I'm trying to find blue pills where I can here in the couch cushions. Is there a chance that he will sober up in the fall when there's a fall economic statement? Maybe he's just the new kid in class and they are just going to run on their fumes of the last government over the summer. And then in the fall, there could be a serious adult in the room when it comes to spending for the fall economic statement. Like, do you have any hope that it's going to be balanced in the fall, like, or cut spending?
A balanced budget? I don't know, but a balanced budget on it. Like, look, the honest answer is, I mean, who knows what's going to happen in the fall, right? We don't know. We don't have a budget. There's no way of telling exactly what he's going to do. All we can do is look at what the government is putting in front of us. And that's the main spending plan, where you've seen a spending increase over 8% this year, even compared to Trudeau's last year. And his platform. And his platform, he's going to add $225 billion to the debt over the next 4 years. So all I can really go off of is what has been tabled before us, the main spending plan and the platform. And that doesn't give me a very good sense of hope. Now, what I will say, folks, one of the reasons this is so important, and we're going to get to interest payments in a second, but one of the reasons this is so important is, like, look, we've seen, just go back to the 90s, where if you keep kicking the can down the road and you don't put out the fire when there's a little bit of smoke, it eventually engulfs the whole house, right? And that's what happened in the 90s. And you saw both at the provincial level and at the federal level and across different political stripes, you saw that politicians were forced to make very, very, very tough decisions because they let the debt problem get so out of control, right? You then even saw, like, the NDP in Saskatchewan having to significantly cut spending. Like, how many rural hospitals were shut down across that Prairie province back in the day, right? Yep. The Liberal government in Ottawa was forced to cut spending, right? Yep. The Klein government in Alberta, the PCs in Ontario. So you had multiple levels of government, different political parties. They were forced to cut spending. And I would venture to guess, I wasn't in the back rooms back in the day. I was almost still in the womb when all this was going down. But look, like, you would venture to guess, I think the most reasonable guess was that for these governments to borrow money, the interest that they would have had to pay was just crazy out of control.
Yes. Yes. And that's actually when the Taxpayers Federation was getting started. We were started in 1990, and that's when all these things were coming to a head. We had a brand new sales tax, GST. Debt was going crazy. People were getting super upset. They weren't able to even to borrow money as a country in some cases where they were things. Rubber was hitting the road at that same time. And that is one of the reasons why the Taxpayers Federation was born. Okay. And it's one of the reasons why we gave Paul Martin, the former finance minister and prime minister of Canada, a form of a tax fighter award.
Yeah, the Stop the Clock Award.
The Stop the Clock Award. Yeah, because he looked at the debt clock and he's like, that damn clock. Like, he did. It was just, you know, he was racked with worry about it. And so that is why he, you know, went and balanced the budget and really cut spending. And so that needs to happen. All right. Do you want me to go to debt interest payments or do you want to go to, okay, let's start with debt interest payments and then we'll wrap up on armed forces spending.
Yeah. Okay. So look, this is depressing a little bit. Okay.
Sorry,
so,
guys, I know.
You know, more debt obviously means more money wasted on interest charges, less money for other services or less money to cut taxes, right? I think we get that. Well, think about how crazy it is, right? We're welcome to Canada, where every dollar you paid in federal sales tax last year went to pay interest on the debt. Okay? Or think about it this way. The federal government spent more money on interest payments than what it sent to the provinces in health transfers. Okay? So what does that mean? Like, if we eliminated the debt, you could essentially eliminate the GST, the federal sales tax, or you could double healthcare transfers. Like, it's crazy how much it's eating up. And the main estimates, the main spending plan shows that the government is going to waste at least $50 billion on debt interest charges again this year. Okay.
So if we're just $50 billion.
So if we're just looking at the main spending plan, I went through the numbers. Look, if interest charges were its own federal department, it would be the third largest. The third largest if it was its own department. Okay. According to that main spending plan, the government was going to spend about $13 billion more on interest charges than what it would spend through the entire Department of National Defense. Okay. Crazy. And the parliamentary budget officer, man, I love those government bureaucrats over there because they are cranking out numbers. They show that on the current trajectory, right? So if Ottawa doesn't tighten its belt, interest charges on the debt are going to blow a $70 billion hole in the budget by 2029, a $70 billion hole because of interest charges.
That is just astonishing. That's close to what the entire budget is of Alberta. That is nuts.
Yeah.
That's okay. Okay. We got to get this under control. We will eventually figure out ways to make them listen. And it, of course, it all comes back to the taxpayer army. You've got to tell all of your MPs, guys, make sure whenever you talk to them that you bring up the debt. Like, bring up the debt all the time because it is costing you an arm and a leg. Like, right now on interest payments, this isn't something like in a computer somewhere, okay, that some future government will, you know, either go bankrupt on or pay off, okay? No, you are paying it every year in interest payments. Like, it's coming out of your wallet because it's in the budget calculation. It's right there as a line item. Like, you're paying it now. So this isn't some faraway problem in the future. It's a problem like front and center. Okay, this was a tricky one, and I was really surprised to see it because there was so much noise with a capital N during the election campaign where NATO spending kind of like was a bit drowned out. It was a lot of nonsense about retaliatory tariffs and elbows up and goofy stuff like that. NATO stuff, though, you're talking about some serious money if we're going to be increasing our spending on the Department of National Defense. Can you get into that a little bit? Explain what Carney has said so far and what his commitments have been and how much this could cost us.
Yeah, well, Carney, it was a surprise. Carney essentially said they're going to meet the NATO target, I believe, by the end of this year, which is 2% of GDP, which is like an extra, folks, like to get to 2%, that's like an extra $9 to $10 billion every single year. So it's a huge amount of money. Now, look, I think if you ask most Canadians, like, what do you want the government to spend money on? They're probably like, fix the roads and make sure we don't get invaded.
Right.
Probably. Right. But let me just plant a couple seeds for our listeners here. And this is really my taxpayer pro tip. And it's just to, you know, think about it, think it through a little bit. And it's just, you know, my two cents for whatever it's worth. Okay. So number one, I think this massive increase in defense spending, $9 to $10 billion, really proves why we need a budget right now. Right now. Yep. Because like, what is the state of our national finances, right? Like how are, not only do Canadians deserve to know, like it's our money, what are you spending our money on? You know, it's the debt that our kids and grandkids are going to have to pay back. What, how much debt are we in right now? But also our members of parliament need to know, because if they're going to be voting on these massive spending increases, they got to know like what the state of our national finances are. But also to the point of why we need a budget, is because like, how are you going to pay for an extra $9 to $10 billion? We're not talking about chum change here. We're talking about a huge amount of money. Like, I don't know. I think that's a pretty fair question. Like, how are you going to pay for it? Right? Are you going to raise taxes? Are you going to cut spending? Where are you going to cut spending? Because I think if you do increase the defense budget by $9 to $10 billion, like you've got to find savings elsewhere in the budget, right? You can't just put it on the credit card, waste more money on interest charges, stick your kids and grandkids with even more debt. Like you got to cut spending elsewhere. But then here's really the taxpayer pro tip and the seed that I want to plant. Why is it only in government where they measure success by how much something costs?
Thank you.
Rather than the actual outcome, right? Think about it. Like think about it, this arbitrary target. Like when in your everyday life are you like, oh, it's going to be successful if I spend this much? Nowhere else but in government. Is that a measure of success, right? Like, let me just throw out a concrete example. We just got an Auditor General report talking about how much defense procurement is way over budget. And we've seen so much defense procurement go way over budget. Well, that's one way to meet 2% of GDP, just have more things go over budget. But that doesn't actually show whether or not it's money well spent. Right. So that's just the seed I really want to plant, really want to get people thinking about, is like, why is it only in government where the measure of success is how much something costs versus what you're actually getting out of it? OK, now, with that being said, last week on the show, we brought this new segment, right, where we ask you a question, leave it in the comments, your answer. And last week's question is, how much do you think Trudeau's gun ban and confiscation scheme is going to cost you? Now, I went through all the comments and I saw some good ones. There was a couple like, you know, $6 billion, $10 billion, 20 billion, who knows, right? But actually, there was one person who commented, and I really liked this one. And they're like, well, you know, the gun registry was started out as $2 million and ended up costing taxpayers $2 billion. So who knows how much the Carney government's gun ban and confiscation scheme is going to cost. So I really like that comment. Here's my question for you in the audience. What do you guys think about government's spending to meet some type of arbitrary target or, you know, some target like the 2% target? Like, what do you make of the government's commitment to spend 2% of GDP? I'd just be interested to know what you guys think. Leave it in the comments and I'll make sure to give it a read before the next podcast.
Great points all around, Franco, on this issue of defense, so-called defense spending. And again, you make a great point. More is not always good. More is not always better. Like, we have to make sure that we're not throwing good money after bad procurement, which happens so often, unfortunately, when it comes to defense spending. And this doesn't mean that you don't support the armed forces. Like, pretty much all of the men in my family through like several generations have served in the armed forces. The point here is the money being well spent? Are those troops getting the proper equipment and supplies? Do they have the right vehicles? Do they have the right armor? Do they have the right guns? For goodness sake, the government couldn't even get proper sleeping bags.
Yeah.
For the men and women in the armed forces, for subarctic temperatures, which, you know, we've had an Arctic in Canada forever. It's nonsense.
And who's so going to be held accountable if the money is wasted? That's another big one too, right?
Bingo. Where's the accountability? So you can't just kind of close your eyes and throw money to, you know, satisfy the Trump gods of the volcano. Okay. This actually has to be money well spent so that it is purposeful and efficient, and they have to be able to account for the money that they have spent. I don't know on all those points. I'm pretty black-pilled about that, but we have to keep a very close eye on that. My taxpayer pro tip is bringing it back home to Fortress Alberta. Okay, there's going to be an article coming out soon in the Sun Chain talking about the need to, yes, we have to stand up and fight Ottawa. Premier Smith is doing a great job doing that. Yes, we have to somehow interpret what crazy circus is coming out of Washington, D.C. Again, Premier Smith is doing a pretty good job of doing staying on top of that. But here in Fortress Alberta, we got to be Fortress Alberta. We can't do that if we are piling money on the debt. So we just overspent by about $5.2 billion with a B in the last budget. That is not acceptable. So folks often hearken back to this idea of Premier Ralph Klein. In fact, I just saw a great pickup truck the other day. I sent a picture to you, Franco, about it.
Yeah.
And it says, I miss Ralph Klein. Amen. I miss him because A, he was a really neat person to talk to as a human being. Two, though, as a taxpayer and a tax fighter, it's that sign he held up, paid in full. We want to be there again when it comes to Alberta and the debt. And just to let you in on it, folks, I'll leave you with this. This is why we have got to hold our provincial MLAs feet to the fire. Tell them to cut spending. Tell them you insist they cut spending and pay down that debt. Because our provincial interest payment on our provincial debt is more than twice the amount we're spending on emergency and safety services. I'm not kidding. It's close to $3 billion a year. We're spending twice as much on the interest on our debt than we are on emergency services, the folks that keep us safe on the front line. So folks, head on over to our website. We want you to join the fight. Because one, it's the best way to keep politicians' feet to the fire and achieve results, okay? Remember the carbon tax? Yeah, that's why gas is about 20 cents cheaper per liter, typically across Canada right now, because that's been reduced down to zero. That's because of you guys. That's because
the
of
consumer
tax fighters.
Carbon tax. There's still more fight left, but yep.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
I'm taking the win where we can here. So the consumer carbon tax is at zero right now. That's because of tax fighters like you guys who are listening. So spread the word to your friends and family who still talk to you. Go to taxpayer.com, sign the petition to stop government waste and to fight the debt. Folks, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to share this with friends who care, because that is how we're helping you fight for taxpayers.